1, 138. 4:30 a.m. I was lying here thinking how Christ would show up in the alley and the weeds, because that is where He is and things of daily life and the world. And I asked myself, would He be additional, substantial, material trace bits? And I realized, no. As a tug, a perturbation, the iron filings, and magnetic field perturbation. The Ida are not material, not physical. So the only way he would show up would be as a tug. And this would render the plural objects and processes as a field perturbed as a unitary whole. I visualized it so clearly. Since He is not real in the spatio-temporal sense, and yet He is here, not there, in this world immediately at hand, I understood it for a moment so clearly. And it was exactly what I saw in 374 that I called Valis. It is the only evidence we would have. So I arrive at the conclusion to this exegesis, and it is where I started. Valis is the cosmic Christ. But to understand this, I had to reject all other possibilities one by one over a 6.5-year period, and, most important of all, I had to study Plato's metaphysics thoroughly and rejoin it to its other half, Christianity, the anamnesis of the Eucharist arising out of Orphism, from which Plato's metaphysics came. 1:170. But most of all, breath, the pattern in the iron filings. That it is breath to weeds, field to iron filings. It is the stirring in the weeds, the pattern structure, as with Pythagoras, field, arrangement. It is not substantial. It is nothing but a field. And the AI voice, very faintly arranging my thoughts. Absolutely, it is a field, as in quantum mechanics. Not the iron filings, but the pattern. I can visualize it very clearly. Visualize Valis, set ground reversal. The not is, is Valis. The is not. It is normally a weak field, too weak to be detected. Only under exceptional circumstances does it intensify to cause a perceptible perturbation, 374. Paradoxically, though it's weak, it is irresistible. Why, this is the Tao. This is how the Tao works. Vide the Tao Te Ching. Weak and everywhere. Ubik. It is weak, and yet it cannot be resisted. This is the Tao. It works through what is small. I am small. It worked through on me to affect modern history. Wu Wei. Note. Chinese, non-doing, a manner of according with the Tao. End note. If all reality, universe, is a one field, it, Tao, needs set up a tiny perturbation at one space-time, and ultimately the whole field will be affected by inducing an enantiodromia of the whole field through a chain of mounting flip-flops. I was one such in 374. I finally understand this is what is meant by a perturbation in the reality field. One tiny tug sets a sequence of mounting growing changes in motion, ending in massive, total enantiodromia. Victory over world. Since all reality is one field, the effects of the initial perturbation end only when the final enantiodromia occurs, and all the counters flip over to their opposites. This is what TMITHC is about, and deliberately so. But the real secret is something new, although tiny, bordering on ex nihilo, on nothing, yet something, is introduced into an otherwise closed system. My example? My act vis-a-vis the Xerox missive, As a result, the entire closed system is affected throughout. 1.175. The fact that I wound up with Valis as a surd when I finished my first complete or successful overview shows how scrupulous I was. It would have to be left over. Deity can't be fitted into a theoretical system. It is irreducible and stands alone. But at least that way, I could focus on it as isolated, which paved the way for my total overview, in which this surd was included, but only as the absolute, leading finally to my ferociously close scrutiny of it in total isolation, from my own mind, and from the reality field as well. I realized that it came into existence literally out of nothing, was pure arrangement, and not the things arranged, acted upon. I visualized, conceived of it as a breath on the weeds of the alley, then connected it to the heroic act that causes genuine newness to enter the world. Then, realizing that it is weak but irresistible, I saw it as the Tao, and hence saw its relationship to the dialectic and mounting chains of events culminating in macro-enantiodromia. The purpose of it breathing on the weeds in the alley, which shows total wisdom on its part. 1.185. Well, my perception of 374 is that I encountered something outside of me, and my recent theory is that it came into existence out of nothing, at least in terms of our reality field. 1.208. Yes, something can be irreal and yet powerful. The lie is powerful. It thrusts itself at us like a reality. But I saw in 274 that it isn't real. Irreality, then, is the basic defect of the entropic old flux cosmos. There are valuable bits in it, e.g. Mozart symphonies. We'll use that as an example. But they are not real in that they pass away. They never are. But the metasoma assimilates them into itself like permanent memories stored in a mind. 1.248. I would even be willing to argue that an experience such as mine, 2374, justifies the fall in the sense of making it worth it due to the absolute joy generated by the recollection and return. I know it was for me. All the tearful years were not only nullified, they were overbalanced by the bliss experienced in restoration. Whether my feelings in history could rightly be projected onto the deity, I don't know. But if my system is right in all respects, 2374 was the deity recovering its memory and identity, and so is representative, a sort of microcosm of the total deity's own travels, its journey. I envision deity in dynamic process undergoing unfolding stages of self-knowledge. Perhaps this is the ultimate price of the game, self-awareness acquired through external plural standpoints, of which I am one. Then I would say it is worth it, this journey. That's my subjective opinion. So the fall is a vast adventure, culminating in a joy that outweighs the arduousness and sorrow of the trip itself. And out of this adventure, the deity knows itself more clearly, and since, as I say, intelligere is its essence, this matter outweighs all else. 1.257. November 16th, 1980. Have I had it backward? I've always said I saw his body camouflaged as the world. Maybe it's the other way. I saw how the pieces of the world fitted together to form his body. This was what I saw that I called Valis, externally. This is the same thing as I understood inwardly when I saw that the wise horn of the dialectic selected pieces of the antecedent universe as a stockpile and fitted the pieces together to form the macro-metasoma cosmos, which was its own self, its own metasoma. Here, seen both ways, externally as Valis and internally as an inner consciousness, world evolved into the body of Christ, world as pieces that seen acting and operating together became, were now, Christ as cosmic body. So it is world first, or rather they as plural pieces are world. Then they come together so that the they becomes an it, one body made up of all the many objects and processes that were, that had formerly been, the world. The lower plural evolve into the higher unitary. This was one process seen two ways, seen inwardly and outwardly. Yet you could still say, his body was camouflaged as world. World was transubstantiated into Christ's body. But it isn't Christ's body posing as world, it is world becoming, joining together to form Christ's body. Again, it is a cosmic evolution, not the higher invading the lower, but the lower evolving into the higher, with pieces of world added element by element to complete and perfect this titanic body. A body so vast that I could only comprehend dimly enormous, infinite volumes of space. Space such as I had never conceived or apprehended before. Larger than the universe, which in comparison is merely finite, limited. And all of it was alive. And all of it thought. And the pieces didn't just happen to fit together. They didn't just haphazardly come together. Christ himself searched for the pieces, took the pieces, placed each piece of the world in place correctly, integrated, beautiful, a cosmos, a macrocosmos that was good, beautiful, pleasing, and harmonious, where all the many parts that had been world interacted as one unity. Note: among the many exotic and ominous diagnoses that may be proposed by those inclined to put Dick's visions into a medical or neurological framework, one simple and relatively benign description hides everywhere in plain sight. Micropsia is the name for a powerful hallucinatory episode common among children, rare in adults, in which the body is experienced as a vast, inert form over which a shrunken to pinpoint consciousness roves, as a Lilliputian roves over Gulliver. The sense of detachment from the physical universe and of vast reorientations of scale has a cosmic trippy quality. Except when it's a symptom of something dire, micropsia is harmless. It can be terrifying, but also enthralling. I suffered it myself, came to cherish it, and felt bereft when the episodes ended. I've subsequently been fascinated by how many different writers I care for: Julio Cortázar, J.G. Ballard, William Blake, Christina Steed, and certainly Dick and Swift seem at some point to be attempting to gloss the micropsia sensation in imagery or metaphor. J.L. End note. And yet absolutely in no way was this vast body anthropomorphic. It was not a human body. It was a permanent body that continually became more reticulated and arborized and complex and perfect, that had once been world. So my inner vision of the macrometasoma cosmos formed out of the antecedent universe, and my external perception of Vallis camouflaged are one and the same. And it is right here, evolution, not reversion, gestalting on my part, form perception. And this was accomplished by him defeating world over and over again in dialectical combat with it, where he subdued it, disassembled it, and assimilated it in the form of useful and appropriate pieces into his own vast body. Every new part incorporated, self-incorporated, came as a result of defeating and subduing world, but not defeating and subduing it by force, but rather by wisdom, by his being wiser than it, although not as powerful. It was his wisdom victorious over its power, and as it lost each time, it lost another piece of itself. So the vast body grows, and with each defeat, world becomes less, and he becomes more, more completed, more perfected, more internally intricate and organized. And everything valuable in world is preserved eternally in his body, as the right part fitted into the right place. And he systematically deprived world of its blind, inexorable causality, and substituted his volition in simulation of that mechanical causality, so that to the unaided eye causality still remained, just as to the unaided eye the plural constituents of world remained plural and unalive, and unable to think, and not integrated into a whole that was evolving internally, just as world passed over, which is to say evolved into it. So in a sense, there were two evolutions, world evolving into his body, not the pieces sort of swimming together, but selected and arranged by him, and an evolution internal to his body, the reticulation and arborizing, based on events in the world fed into his body, continual accretions passing from world, where they were transitory, into his body, where they were forever preserved and remembered, like within a memory system in a mind or brain. And all the internal arrangement was morphological, not in terms of space and time, but in terms of information, as if arranged by meaning, like a kind of language, like neural conduits in a brain. There was an endless processing of things as information, as if every combination was tried out, a perpetual rapid activity, like an internal metabolism, an information metabolism. It was using objects, combinations and recombinations of objects to think with. And every given thing was limited, telos, by every other thing, in comparison to which the antecedent universe was chaotic, atelos. It was alive, it thought, and it initiated its own movement. Nothing acted on it. All its movements were self-initiated, and nothing outside it acted to construct it. It constructed itself. And if you were outside in the chaotic antecedent universe, you were in a prison. But if you were inside it, you were in a park or a garden, and it constantly attacked the prison to dismantle it as a source of parts. And this had been going on for 2,000 years, a really very bitter, but somehow also joyful war. Finally, when an object was incorporated into this structure, it became real for the first time, as if up until then, in a certain way, it had been illusory, coming into being and passing away without ever having truly existed. But now it was safe from decay and harm, and perishing, forever, as if the body had a map of its own internal structure, the only structure ever to have been self-mapping, hence totally internally self-aware. Yet when you looked at this great system, it was only ordinary objects, such as you see every day. The basic things of the world, but interrelated and arranged, without having moved in time and space. The internal arrangement was its own awareness of itself, itself as map. As incredible as it may seem, I actually didn't realize until last night that when I saw what I called Valis, I saw what I call Macrometasoma Cosmos. Apparently, this is the case that 1, I didn't recognize their identity, and 2, they are identical. That means that my vision as to how the Macrometasoma Cosmos is constructed out of pieces of the antecedent universe by means of the dialectic applies to Valis. I literally saw the Macrometasoma Cosmos into which the flux world feeds. So Valis didn't invade our world in a disguised or camouflaged form, as I have always supposed. It is constructed right here, but invisible to us. It grows. It becomes more complex and perfected, and it constructs itself. Absolutely, it is the cosmic Christ. Either that, or it is one fuck of a meta-life form. It just ruthlessly plunders the flux world, treating it as a chaotic stockpile that it uses for parts. And it is selective as to what it assimilates and where it places it in its own soma. Did I realize this? I don't think so. I didn't realize that I saw it and that it is Valis. It's as if two thought clusters in my mind finally collided and formed one thought complex. I had two separate categories, one involving invading, one involving construction by its own self. Suddenly, Years of speculation are rendered void by this realization. Valis experienced three ways. Valis is, indeed must be, the cosmic Christ assembling itself out of the antecedent universe, which it uses as a stockpile, which it, the cosmic Christ, defeats perpetually in a dialectical combat. 1. Its mind was in direct touch with mine, and it explained how it comes into existence and out of what? The Macrometasoma cosmos. 2. I saw it externally as Valis. 3. I was inside it and saw its inner information metabolism, what I call the second signal. Because the essence of its identity, its Ine, is its structure, we can't see it. All its constituents are ordinary objects. Also, its Ine is no Ine. They are one. Supra 3 confirms that 1 and 2 are identical. The fact that the Macrometasoma cosmos is right here, made up of ordinary objects structured into a cohesive unity, changes my conception of it. I must now reappraise everything I've thought during the past 6.5 years. I've missed the point all this time. I knew Valis was here, but I could not figure out where the Macrometasoma cosmos was, since I didn't realize that they, and what I call the second signal, are the same. It is a floating mind that turns objects into information within a brain that processes objects and their causal connections as information. It is especially active in our own communications media utilizing a set ground system. I must admit that I don't really understand this. Why can't we pick up, say, its metamorphemes? Well, because we can't perform feature extraction with it. It blends perfectly. Am I to assume that I'm the only human aware of it? Hardly. Where I differ is that, I'd guess, I've struggled so hard to explicate what happened to me. No, that isn't it. Could it be here just recently? No, that isn't it either. It's not in time and space. It's exploded morphologically. Or it utilizes a retrograde time axis, what I call negentropic time. I don't know, it's impossible that no one else has seen it, but you can't see it unless it incorporates you. Maybe I'm the only one stupid enough to talk about it. 1.262. Note. The following description of Dick's November 17, 1980 Theophany is arguably the single most important entry in the entire exegesis. It offers a fully developed interpretation of Dick's mode of theoretical exploration, expressed in some of the most beautiful prose he ever wrote. In the face of despair, at the interminability of his theological exploration, Dick meets a vision of a God at play. This entire theological exercise is presented as a game between omnipotent deity and created being. Moreover, the infinitude of Dick's theories itself becomes proof that God is the beginning and end of his experiences. In light of the ideas presented in the Theophany itself, Dick's conclusions at the end of the entry, that 2374 was caused by Satan, and that the exegesis is therefore a diabolical hell chore, are surprising. Perhaps we can read these remarks not as Dick's final conclusion, but rather the development of another theory about 2374, and thus the beginning of another infinitely tall pile of computer punch cards. GM. End note.